I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss Tuesday night's commission meeting, including developments regarding the fiscal year 2018 budget and Athens Comprehensive Plan, as well as the latest downtown high-rise. All that and much more on the next Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters. My guests today are Jim Thompson with the Banner Herald, Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, and Blake Odd with Flagpole. So, Jim, it's nice to have you back.
Good to be back.
For however long we have you back. And I know you were among the many people at the meeting, you and Blake, finding out what's going on with the budget and everything else that went on with that commission meeting.
Yeah, which most of that discussion focused on hotel-motel tax and a new scheme for distributing those dollars, and that is creating some consternation among the Classic Center folks and local hotel folks and economic development professionals here, but was approved by a 7-2 vote on the commission. And so now it's not a huge thing dollar-wise. I think it's more a symbolic thing in terms of the county kind of taking a look at the hotel-motel tax as a stream of revenue for economic development initiatives outside the Classic Center. The Classic Center had previously been able to claim 6% of the actual proceeds of the tax. Now they're only going to be allowed to claim 6% of what the county projects they're going to collect. Or let me back up, 6% of the actual collections rather than what the county had projected.
Well, there's
there's
an estimate as to how much that's going to be in the budget, and so they're going to get that dollar amount.
Yeah.
But the projection is usually low.
Very low.
So any additional money above that estimated dollar amount will go into a pot where, as opposed to actually going to the Classic Center. And I think that they want to use that money, I think, to implement the downtown master plan, although it really could be used for anything economic development related.
Yeah, and they're going to, I think, for this year anyway, and there's no guarantee that this scheme lasts for beyond just this year, but
it's a terrible precedent.
It's a weird precedent to set.
Right, because
but part of it will go to offsetting. They put $200,000 in the general fund to
for the airport
the move to attract a commercial air carrier here. Part of the money that, depending on how much gets collected through the hotel-motel tax, part of what's now the county share will go to offset that $200,000 cost. But
it's a little bit maybe circular kind of logic. Yeah. I don't know. But it does seem to me that if you did have an airline,
you would need a reason for them to come to Athens.
Well, probably that would be good for the hotels, and so then you generate more hotel-motel tax revenue.
No, yeah, no. Yeah. The weird argument last night in terms of that airport thing, I think, came from Doc Eldridge, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, who tried to make the argument that the airport takes people out of towns, which is correct. And I mean, that may be part of, I mean, that's part of the reason that they're looking to bring an airline here is to get folks. But, those folks have to come back and other folks have to come here. And, if you can fly directly to Athens from, make a connection in Washington or wherever the other hub, or excuse me, New York or wherever the other hub for this airline is going to be, then, that saves you that drive from Atlanta to Athens.
I would think that would make Athens more attractive for conventions that are maybe outside of a convenient driving distance, possibly.
Yeah.
If you can attract them. There's so many pieces that I'd like to comment on. First thing that hit me was when Jim used the word symbolic. This is a 22-year historic partnership. It's the only contractual partnership that our government has with another entity. I mean, really, with an economic development entity. When we funded this for the with the hotel motel tax, we recognized that they were in charge of bringing in the monies. We had 6 football games then also, if people want to point to that. But tourism was like 5th or 6th industry in our community, 5th or 6th. It might have been farther down than that. I know it was in the top 10. It may have been at the very bottom. Poultry was in there, lots of others. And here we now have it. It's the only, quote unquote, non-public, if you want to say that, although both of those entities are quasi-public entities. But the CVB and our Classic Center have exceeded. They're the reason that the hotel motel tax always exceeds the projections. It's because they have been amazing in what, I mean, who would have ever thought ice skating would have been big in Athens, Georgia? That's just one example of the creativity and the resourcefulness that those people have put to work for this community. I really think that Paul Kramer and Chuck Jones are the greatest economic development team we've got in our, and it just kills me that we say we're Athens is not pro-business, is not, and then this commission has leaned over backwards to say that, funding Carrier $10 million. How many people does Carrier bring into our town that are new, that are not tax-using entities? But anyway, and the airport is fine, you know. I'm all for, I would love to see us have a successful airport, but this will be the 4th time that we have subsidized, that we have tried to justify the need for an airport less with an hour's distance from one of the largest airports in the nation. And I'm just not a big believer. I think we ought to go the route of Gwinnett, which has made a lot of money with a lot of different businesses with a private airport that it supports itself because it supports the rich that have private planes and the corporate. And that's what we're essentially doing out there. It's supporting very, I mean, we'll see. But we should not have subsidized that airport without the commitment of the University of Georgia and the Chamber of Commerce corporate sector that they were going to push people toward our airport rather than Atlanta. And that's not happening.
Yeah, that's part of what this new steering committee is looking to do, is create those ticket banks so that there's money out there, so that, you know, we know that there is funding for that that sort of airline. The argument that the airport uses is that the catchment area produces, which is the area within like a 40-minute drive, people living in that area, about 150 a day go to New York.
I think it was New York and D.C.
New York and D.C.
Yeah, were the two biggest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this connector is just to New York, right?
Well, yeah, they've got two. They've got one that is looking to go to New York, and then there's the other that they're looking at they're still talking about what hub they would fly to. The local preference is Charlotte, which is where U.S. Airways, I guess it was years ago, used to fly to. Mm-hmm. And that's American hub, I think. Or one of American's hubs.
And East, it used to be Eastern, but I think Eastern moved to Florida.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Eastern's out of business.
I know, but I mean, it used to be, and that's what Right.
Well, I mean, I think both of y'all are making good points here. You know, I personally would think if we had a train, you know, we would.
Yes, we all agree.
I think it's an airport conversation,
right. And all the studies show.
We can't do that on our own, and that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. So, but I mean, going back to the Classic Center thing, though, I don't disagree with anything you said, Gwen. I mean, they've obviously done a lot of terrific things for the community and created a lot of jobs and brought a lot of money here. But, you know, I think there's a limit to that. And I think we're bumping up on it right now. And as you see, you know, and I know the Classic Center is largely responsible for all these new hotels we're seeing open in Athens, but
a 25% increase in rooms just this year.
Right, and there are more coming.
Right, and they're huge property tax entities.
This tax, you know, we're not obligated to give the Classic Center the vast majority of this tax. I mean, this is a tax for a broad purpose. It's for economic development and tourism. And the Classic Center does that. The CVB does that. But there are probably other uses we could put
into. And the Welcome Center. Don't forget, the Welcome Center is also a major loser.
As this tax increases, you know, I'm just not sure that all of that money needs to go to the Classic Center, because the Classic Center is going to probably stay the same size.
Right. Well, look at the pavilion. Here they took a parking area, and they just had their largest.
And they did that without any, they're paying for that themselves.
Pardon?
They're paying for that themselves.
I know that, but we're also paying for the other parking deck. We have a lot of commitments. The Classic Center, at least, has a lot of commitments they're paying off the debt. They're committed to those things. They don't have that much discretionary income.
But the dollar amount that they're getting is the dollar amount that's in their budget.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're budgeting based on that dollar amount.
Right.
So we're talking about extra money. You know, if they needed that money, they would put it in their budget. You know, but the dollar amount that they say that they need is what they're going to get.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we're not cutting anything. The agreement has always been that we would budget what John Culpepper, the finance director, 2 years ago, now we have a new one, what the finance director gave us, that we would always budget that. And that's fine, but we always we raised more than they anticipated. And it wasn't just, I mean, we're not talking about something that just happens. We're talking about one of the most aggressive sales forces in the state. Over and over, the governor's office on tourism has given awards to us for reaching out. We get more, outer state stuff than any other city but Atlanta. Any other city but Atlanta, we get more. You know, regional, I guess you would call it, but I mean other states. We brought in religious groups that are huge. We're doing thousand people conventions in there. And, you know, and those people, our staff has been very conscientious in making sure that when they work with people on setting up their programs and their schedules, that they allow for dinner time in the community. And that's really, a lot of convention centers do not do that. They want to hold everything inside their walls. Our staff has not been that way at all.
Yeah.
Well, I still just, and this is not anything against the Classic Center, but I mean, they should have to compete for this money.
Right.
And there are other interests, and it's the commission's job to decide. You know, there's nothing written in the law that they have to get all six of these pennies on the dollar. It's a budgeting choice just like any other budgeting choice.
I totally agree.
And if there are other things that maybe we could take a little bit of that money on and use that would also be good for the community and for economic development, then maybe we should consider that.
But
we've never done that until this year.
Yeah.
It's always just been automatic. Class Center gets what they want, you know.
What they were guaranteed as part of their contractual agreement with the – I was there. I remember. Okay. They came to the city and the county. Both of us agreed that they – and so I think it's part of our – it's a precedent of partnership that I think was honorable. And I'm really sad to see us change that. We're talking less than $200,000, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, they just get this percentage in perpetuity. I mean, what happens if it's just?
It's not a percent. You know, y'all keep saying percent. It's a cent.
It's a percentage of six divided by seven. It's
right. It's a large percent.
I can't do math in my head.
Right. If they would put that money into the Morton, into our arts, into some of the other things, but they keep putting it into an economic development department that so far has not shown an ability to bring in any industry other than what would have come here anyway. And I don't say that against anybody that's in that department. I'm just saying that those kind of false issues and false efforts, you know, are just not as profitable at some other ways of spending your money.
It sounds to me that we need to have a real conversation about what we do with this hotel motel tax, and we can't have that if, you know, the 6 out of 7 percentage points is sacrosanct for the Classic Center.
Right. But now,
because then we're just talking about what we do with a penny.
Right. But that's what one of the commissioners talked about last night was, let's wait. Let's talk about this. Let's get this down and look at it instead of just doing this with a week's notice to a 22-year-old partner. So anyway,
they're getting the dollar amount that's in their budget, so it shouldn't really hurt them because that's what they're budgeting for.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you take kind of a longer view, I mean, obviously this is just kind of a first bite at the apple to see, okay, here we can get a share of this hotel motel tax money, and how are we going to use it? I think the thing to be concerned about over the years is
over the coming years is
how much of that starts going to places other than the Classic Center,
right? What it goes for,
and you know whether it turns into kind of the way that the community development block grant used to be, where you had everybody coming up trying to get a little teeny piece of it.
Spread out so thin. That never did any good.
So
I do think,
but you know, there will be a lot of political reasons to if you start balkanizing that money, there'll be a lot of political reasons to sort of split it up into little teeny pieces.
And that's right. They're going to kill the golden goose.
But again, I think, you know, Blake's point, too, is that I think the Classic Center can make a decent case in any given year in terms of why they should get that lion's share of the money. But they ought to at least have to make that case.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of,
they meet with the commission. They give them reports. They do an annual report. And, I mean, I believe in some ways that they sell themselves. They spend a lot of time selling themselves. And it's sad because a lot of the people they bring in is that person that pays in without costing the community that much. So that's a lot of it is outside weddings, for instance. My God, weddings bring in a huge number of people.
But like Blake, I mean, I think that there are other segments of this community who could make a decent case for why they should be entitled to some of that, and they ought to be able to make that case and ought to have some stake in realizing that, okay, if I make this case, I can get a share of that money.
Right. The first person I would want to have to make that case is the Economic Development Department.
Well, you know, maybe they should have to come to the table too. But
we can't
talk about this either without bringing up, an issue that really doesn't have anything to do with economics at all. But you know, I mean, there are a lot of people who don't particularly like the Classic Center because of how much it's grown already and how it's kind of sucked up, you know, the eastern end of downtown. And, you know, there's a perception, at least in some quarters, that, I mean, downtown is turning into sort of a, you know, French Quarter type of place where it's all, you know, students and tourists and bars. And, you know, the Classic Center is kind of driving that. And, you know, that's sort of a cultural issue, but, I mean, that's something that we have to consider as well. I mean, I personally think that the economic impact probably outweighs any of that, but, you know, that's a feeling that's out there. So how big do we want the Classic Center to get? If we keep shoveling the money, they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and, you know, probably some people don't want them to get bigger. Probably some people think they're too big already.
Well, I think what you have to look at is two things. One is how much money are they making for Athens? How much do they profit? And how positive is that? For instance, 6,000 Methodists are coming in. That's certainly not students. That's not bar people. That's not just music people.
But you never
hear shoppers.
You never hear comments from people who, you know, are annoyed by, you know, the Methodists overrunning downtown and they can't get a table for lunch and blah, blah, blah. You never hear anything like that?
What we get is a lot of, thank goodness, during the summer, the Classic Center is pouring people with money into this community. And let me say this about the east end of town. Look at the Foundry Street. What an excellent job they did of saving. When I was on the city council, One time I asked about our recycling program, and I went down there, and we were storing all of these milk bottles that had not been cleaned, and I don't have to tell you what that smelled like. That's what we were using those Foundry Street warehouses for. Today, and they have totally remodeled them themselves. They just revamped them again on private monies. I feel like that if you – and who else are they putting into Athens? We have youth groups. We have church groups. We have state agencies of teachers, of administrators, of city council. I mean, it's just – it's a huge variety of what I believe are people we want to come to our community. And I've talked to downtown. I did a downtown radio show from downtown recently and ran around. And there was not one shops and restaurants and others that didn't feel like that those people were flushed into downtown on those meals or those times that they weren't, you know, in conferences. So I think it behooves us to be in a situation of recognizing what a tourist dollar, how much more of a dollar that is, and plus, so that adds to our base. And then in addition to that is our property tax that come from huge new additions to our community. Property tax, by the way, that we did not give any break to the last hotel. We promised them a break, but then we took it back, and they had to find that additional money, and they did it.
Well, we were going to give them a tax break, and they said they didn't want it.
No, we gave them a tax break, and then when they came back for it, they took it away, and then they came back and they said, maybe we will if you'll reapply.
Well, it was a different kind of tax break.
Yeah, it was a bad tax break. It was very different from the first.
The second one, they backed out of themselves.
Right. Yeah. That's because the second one was, anyway. We could do the whole show on this.
We could eat up the whole show on this, and you're welcome to have the whole show on this. But I do know we did want to talk about, another development. Well, we skip
Speaking
on to that
downtown,
one.
Yeah.
And stick with the new high rise.
We have yet another high rise possibly coming to downtown on Mitchell Street, down a little bit south of downtown off Oconee, across from the Mark, which is almost finished, I guess. The monolithic wall along Oconee Street. So this is not supposedly going to be student apartments. I guess they're going after professors, empty nesters, retirees. Which famous last words?
That's what they always say.
Yeah,
but 10 stories tall, 100-something feet, 250 condos, I think, in this development, something like that. 250
bedrooms.
250 bedrooms. 120 condos, maybe.
Yeah. 1 and 2 bedroom and some 3 bedroom if they can configure them that way. But it's always, has always been that anytime somebody puts a housing development in that proximity of downtown, over the last 10 years, it's hard not to think that whatever it's sold as, that it's not going to be, turned into student housing at some point. Now, these 1 and 2 bedroom configurations, maybe not. But it's hard for me to think, too, that retirees would, and maybe there's some of them. Maybe I'm just not as energetic as some folks, but if I were retiring into Athens, I don't know that I'd want to live within a stone's throw of a student-oriented housing development.
A student-oriented housing development with 1,000 bedrooms. And a steep uphill walk to downtown.
Yeah.
But this is just my personal theory, but I'm picking up on a game day vibe here. I don't know if these are going to be – this is going to be student housing. I feel like this is probably going to be, wealthy
game day condos,
more than likely.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what about the one that Herschel and Barbara did together? Has that had a lot of trouble selling those?
It was foreclosed on.
Right.
And now it's student housing. Now it's student rentals. Georgia
and,
Traditions. And, yeah. I don't think they call it that anymore. I can't remember the name.
I know, but
I think it's just 755 East Broad now or something like that. Yeah.
You know, if you got inside an apartment, they were really nice, but the layout and the design was very crude. It was not impressive at all.
Well, so, and a lot of those developments, kind of in the first wave before the recession, I mean, were done by people who, weren't really developers.
Right.
Whereas now, I mean, the people who are building these places are...
Well, they're all from Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta, Chicago, California. I mean, they're national, these companies, and even Landmark here and based here in Athens. I mean, they own dozens, if not hundreds, of these apartment complexes.
Right.
So they're cookie cutter, and they know how to do it, and they just build them in all the college towns.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing the number of companies out there that specialize in student housing, and that's all that they do. And we're represented, those folks are represented across downtown.
You know, it's amazing to me that people can think that the Classic Center was responsible for the student takeover of downtown Athens. That's kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, I probably mangled my words a little bit, but I mean, historically, there's always been a sense that the Classic Center has kind of contributed to taking away the music creative culture of downtown. And I mean, if you even read old flagpoles going back to the 90s, I mean, read some old Pete McCommons editorials. You know, so, I mean, that feeling has been there.
Right. And I don't know. It may have been there, but it needs to update itself because right now, look at our art tour, which is totally sponsored by the Classic Center. And it goes to, all of these art places. We have two galleries that have, they're working with the Linden House on the publishment of the children's art that comes out every year. And, I mean, it's just... I think that we really need as much arts support in this community as we can get. And by the way, there is a wonderful exhibit at the Linden House right now. David Hale, who did the mural on the next to Ted's Pizza that you can look at. But anyway, they had the largest amount of sales they've ever had at an opening. This young man is going to be internationally recognized, so don't miss it. It's really amazing.
We're running a little short on time, but I know we also want to discuss the comprehensive plan.
Yeah, and at the Planning Commission meeting where they talked about the Mitchell Street development, right? And, there's not that much to say about it right now, but, this is the 10-year... land use plan for the county, so this is going to guide most of the decisions that the county government makes for the next decade. And so now it's being updated. This is mandated by the state, but there's going to be a lot of opportunities for public comment, and so I think we should just encourage people to participate in that because it's really it's an important document.
Yeah, you can also go to the Planning Department's website on the county website and comment there on comprehensive plan issues, and that'll flesh itself out a little bit more over time as well. But it's interesting, too, that it's going on and is going to be incorporated as part of or will be is going on in tandem with the Envision Athens, which is a sort of broader based thing. But so those both of those things are going on.
And for the first time, the Greenway and the Firefly Trail and those kind of things will really be actualized and envisioned by people in a way that really is a transportation complement to this county.
Gwen, this is shocking. You have the last word. I want to thank my guests for being here today. Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, Jim Thompson with the Athens Banner-Herald, and Blake Odd with Flagpole. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, the Banner-Herald, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.